Welcome to the L20 podcast. This is episode number 3, and once again, thank you for everyone that's subscribing and connecting to the festival. Episode 3 is about to start. It's a chat with myself and Tony Hannan. We talk through the music industry from the 80s, 90s, noughties, and we also have a little rant about Leeds needing a tram system.
Hi, I'm Tony Hannan. I started the dance music scene in Leeds and the UK back in 87. I'm now a consultant with Leeds BID, working for the BID and also on the Leeds International Festival. I'm sat with Simon Fogel, and over to you.
Hi there, yeah, so I'm Simon Fogel. You probably recognise my voice because I do the intros. I run Chapter 81, which is a food and lifestyle agency, predominantly in, it's like a communications agency for food and drink businesses, but also one of our big clients is Leeds BID and Leeds International Festival. So we do, yeah, the external comms, I guess, press and social now, and yeah, that's kind of where we're at.
You do a sterling job as well. So I got brought into three years ago, to run a couple of events. So I created One Foot in the Rave, which was a nod to the golden era of clubbing in Leeds from 88 to 95.
I really enjoyed just looking at those pictures. I literally spent so much time, and I'm sure there's a lot of pictures that probably haven't made it. But
there's a few that didn't make it, Simon. It was, it's an amazing time. And sometimes I don't like looking back, but then obviously what you've done defines you as a person, I think. And like yourself and my sons, they look at some of the old photographs and go, wow, they're iconic photographs. And like I look back at stuff in the 80s and go, wow, or the 60s and go, that's a great photograph. So you don't really appreciate what you've done sometimes. But
you live in the moment, I guess, right?
Yeah, that was a moment. When you started, when you were old enough to go out in 1990, or was it 1990?
99.
So you'd missed all that early explosion of dance music in the city.
Yeah, I missed it, but I felt it because I had. So I grew up. When I say grow up, my teens. That's where you grow up, isn't it? In on the East Coast, so Scarborough, and you know the common room is like dance people and indie kids. I was an indie kid.
Yeah.
But you felt like Leeds was doing something, the dancing, because they were all making plans to come to the parties.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, what is this? And you're like, feeling a little bit jealous.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we used to have to come to Leeds to what my first ever gig was at the Town and Country.
Yeah.
But we had to hire a taxi from Scarborough, me and like six pals. And it was, you know, it's fairly cheap to drive us there and back. So we chauffeured to our first gig.
Really? What was it?
It was, it's too embarrassing.
Go on, come on.
No, I'm not going to.
The Wombles. Go on.
There was Three Colours Red, which is not even that embarrassing, really.
No, it's not embarrassing at all.
I was kind of one of these indie kids. I was metal kid,
yeah,
rock, indie, post-rock.
Yeah.
I mean, I just now, with everyone, I listen to everything, I guess.
Did you like any of the dance stuff that was happening in Leeds? Like maybe the more techie stuff or the, you know, like Sasha was got into his techie, kind of taking you on a journey. Kind of music.
I don't think I did, but that's only because growing up in Scarborough, you on the seafront, you'd have this, the indie kids and the dance kids were very separate.
Yeah.
And so I think Happy Hardcore
was
big around my era.
I hated that. That was awful. Me too.
Just imagine all the people in the, what we call them, Kevs.
Like with the white gloves on.
And the, like, bad Fiesta cars. And
yeah.
Pimped out, driving around the seafront, listening to this, like,
dancing.
What is that?
No.
So that kind of put me off dance music a little bit. I obviously appreciate it now, more electronic stuff. And I guess, going back to Leeds International Festival last year, having, Daniel Avery and, you know,
that was,
you know, that's...
Did you enjoy the Chaos gig we did at the, for
actually,
the festival?
I actually had a different event to go to.
Did you?
But I've know people that went.
I love that event, and it was, we wanted to stay away from the total classical event because I thought that's been done to death. So we came up with a concept with Suddy from Together.
People were sending me videos. Well, say people. Martin Dixon, who was on episode one, he used to send me these videos at my event, and he was just like, "Look at this."
And it was so we didn't just copy that classical event. We had a bass player, drum player. We only had four, a string quartet and a singer, and she was great, it's an American girl. And But the track listing was amazing. It was like, it just wasn't churning out the old dance classics. Loads of stuff on there.
That's the one he sent me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the year you got involved in the festival, right? Two years ago?
Yeah. I did
that and the exhibition One Foot in the Rave.
I did that, and then we created One Foot in the Rave, which was, I think if you've, you know, for Leeds International Festival, we couldn't ignore the music scene in the city and what's made this city what it is. And that's why we did One Foot in the Rave, to try and sort of show people, look, whatever you're doing now, this is where it came from 88 to 95, with Back to Basics, Up Your Ronson, Hard Times, Susie, Vague was brilliant, The Orbit as well, amazing. Yeah. That was like a full-on techno club.
Yeah, Gatecrasher, when that was here in Leeds.
Gatecrasher was on Ball Lane, which is near Trinity, yeah. You had The Warehouse, then you had The Music Factory. There was like four or five. We had the biggest clubs in the world in Leeds in at that time. And I was just saying to Martin, we worked it out that over a 5 or 6, 7 year period, there was something like 500,000 people came into Leeds for the clubbing, and a lot of the students used to come to the city because Ronson was here, or Basics, or Vague, you know, and they'd say, well, we're going to Leeds, you know, you would, right, yeah, ticks my going out box for a student. So
I think that really leads on to, I guess, where I come in the music industry, because back in the early mid 90s, that's people coming to Leeds because of the clubbing scene.
Yeah.
The students in particular.
Yeah.
And then it kind of had a lull, didn't it? Once the clubbing scene kind of tailed off.
It did. I left Leeds then. I went to live down south.
So it's your fault that it lulled.
Yeah, because I left. No, I don't think so. But I think I went then to start running music events for MTV and Radio 1 across Europe. And Leeds did have a lull then. It was like from 96 onwards, it kind of had its time.
Yeah, dance music had its time. That's when the Britpop came in, isn't it?
Yeah.
95, 96,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And the Spice Girls, I can never forget them.
Yeah.
And so I came to uni in 99, and it was like, Travis, Coldplay was starting out.
Yeah.
And that sort of vibes.
I was slumming it in Ibiza then, Simon. You know, it's like, someone had to do it, didn't they? It's awful, isn't it?
So then, after I graduated uni, my music project, I kind of joined a group of lads, and we formed a band from it, called Allied Trains. And so after uni, I was just like this drummer in a band, and we just kind of were practicing for no real purpose, really.
Yeah.
Because you do, and you just love it.
Yeah.
And then people started saying, oh, are you doing that? Could I do a show or anything?
Yeah. So, first gig then?
So it was at The Vine, which doesn't exist. Paddy Power.
That's the Three Legs, The Vine. That one.
Yeah, which, again, The Vine, it was Whiskers, who from Forward Russia, who also runs Music Leeds now.
Yeah.
He used to program that stuff. So, like, Arctic Monkeys played in The Vine. And
brilliant.
So it was like this run of gigs, and you're like, what is this? And it was a terrible venue.
Yeah.
It was an old-style pub, not dissimilar to the Three Legs.
Yeah, it was there, and it was quite rough, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was rough. Just, that area was rough, because Big Lil's next door, which is now Hedra House.
Yeah. Leeds was like, you know, went out on a Saturday night and you had to have your wits about you, didn't you, a little bit.
We put that loading into The Vine. You had to like drive down the Hedra alley.
Yeah.
And park next to Big Lil's. And
oh my,
petrifying.
That was shocking. Yeah, that was shocking in there. It was.
I had the pleasure of going in once.
Did you? It was weird because it was like the bar was in the middle. You could walk around it and come out, but it was. It was like you didn't really want to go in there that often, did you, really?
Not at all.
But
so I think when we started doing gigs, we did a few. It's kind of the indie scene was kind of starting to blow up again in the
Leeds,
and that's when again you felt like,
because I think
students were coming back to Leeds
for the dance music scene, not the indie scene, on its head for quite a few years.
Oh, yeah.
From about 88 to, like you said, 95, 96, it was the whole country was overtaken by raves and dance music. And then everything kind of comes to an end, doesn't it? And like you say, when you sort of picked up on that, that's when the band circuit started happening again.
Yeah, so at that era you had obviously Parva, who became Kaiser Chiefs, getting signed to a label. The Somatics were a band that were on Beggar's Banquet.
Yeah.
There was Sammy USA, which became Jules, who were major label bands that were getting signed in Leeds. Yeah. And then I guess through Allied Trains and Whiskers, you know, started this record label for Danster Radio, which kind of you know, springboarded a lot of people, but most famous for Pigeon Detectives.
Yeah, I know. They played for us in the Rock Bar. Good lads, Leeds fans, obviously. Leeds time. Not Tottenham.
I'm not talking about football.
But you can't help it, can you? It always comes back to that.
So it was an interesting time in that, because everyone was, it was again like what you said about the dancing maybe 10, 15 years before. It was like this collaboration, everyone wanting to help out. You'd have a gig and I would sell merch for someone, I'd drive a band somewhere. It was just that whole community.
Do you know what? Exactly what you've just said there. I remember George from Nightmares on Wax, and he had his club Downbeat, which was Ricky's top end of town. And Downbeat was really cool. It was soul, funk, hip hop. It'd still do well now, what he played. It'd be amazing if he recreated that now. It'd still work. And I remember George, you know, I saw him in town. He's going, "Oh, we're having this party at Pronto Print on Burley Road." And it was one of the first little warehouse parties. Yeah. And this was about 88 or something. And I remember, like you said, you help out, you do this. And I went, "Oh, George, I'm just going to go home. I want you to play some records, you know, vinyl." Mm. And so I went home and got my early house collection of Chicago House. It was a blue album with a double album, and it had the Chicago night scene on it. Amazing album. And I was there with him. There was like 300 people above Pronto Print raving, and loads of them were stood on a shelf that went around the outside of the place inside early Chicago House. On, I think Leeds for a few years hasn't been good at bragging about itself.
Oh yeah, I mean that's across the board, isn't it?
Do you know what I mean? I don't know why that is, because. Put it down to maybe a football thing, but
I think it's football.
Once we get Leeds in the Premiership,
big selling artists in the chart, which we don't really have. Well, obviously, we got the Kaiser Chiefs are still going, but you know, Liverpool. Obviously, that's a different world. Manchester, they've got two massive football. Both of those cities have got
two Prem clubs, haven't they?
We haven't got that one, and I do think it elevates the city massively. Yeah. And having having a big act, having a football club, and it's quite interesting, we think about that, and it's like all working with the independent food scene, like I was like, well, we need to get ready for when, you know, when the Premier League comes, because with that, there's more money. Obviously, fans are going to come for day trips. Obviously, I'm not saying it doesn't happen now with the Championship, but it's a different league. Cause
it's different league.
You're getting sellout crowds now, you'll get sellout crowds, but it's a different league. So when England played the friendly at Ellen Road, you could see people came from all over the country.
Yeah, hotels were busy, restaurants were busy. So big. Buzzing,
and,
wasn't it?
And people were stopping in the street saying, "Oh, where should we eat?" And I was like, go there. Yeah. It's like,
they were discovering Leeds, great.
That's the buzz, I think, you know, that will elevate Leeds to a different level.
I totally agree, because I think I saw something, I think it was through what you did with The Guardian, some article came out and they went, "Leeds is hiding in sight of itself," or something like that. Do you remember it?
When it's the best city in
England. I think Liff is in a different place this year as well. And I know this because I work, as you know, trying to bring in strategic partners to the festival. That's another part of what I do.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of big partners, which we haven't announced yet, which we will announce when the tickets go on sale next year, I guess.
Don't you think that more people know about Liff this year than over the last two or 3 years?
Yeah, you just...
Felt that?
I always felt like when you do something for... in between 3 and 5 years, that's where you have to establish your brand anyway.
Yeah.
And people... like with Leeds Indie Food, which I run, you know, that took... it took 2 years of like really, you know, this is what it is, and people like, I don't get it.
How long did it take you?
Well, I mean, Chowdown was a bit different because it was, we had to go from the off straight off, so we spent a lot of money on marketing that brand. Whereas obviously, Leeds and Food didn't have that money, but it took like 2 years of like literally had thousands of meetings with people, not just me though, the whole team at that point, trying to understand the concept, but.
And trying to get people involved, and it's difficult,
you
isn't it?
Because
year one, it's hard to get them involved, isn't it? Because they're like, you're not sorry, I shouldn't say this, but sometimes it's Leeds. It's like, "Oh yeah, good idea, but we'll see how it goes."
Yeah,
you're like, right. Okay, this is a really good idea. I want you involved now.
Yeah, I'm at the point where I was like, "If it got a good idea, I want to do it. Let's just try and do it." And I think with Leeds International Festival, like the last year where we did the first open call, and then to this year's open call, which obviously we haven't announced many things, but like from going, what, 50-ish to 450 open calls, that's like...
It's huge, isn't it?
There's obviously a lot of people wanting to get involved.
That's a massive jump, isn't it? It's like, you know, from that to, from 59 to 400 and odd, it's like, wow. Where've all you come from, and where have you heard about it?
It's one of those ideas where last year we were just like, should we just put it out there and see what we get back? But we actually ended up with a majority of it being the open call because it was that good.
I think the open call's brilliant. I really do. I think it's probably one of the best things about LIFF is the open call. Which...
Do you not think the Discovery Zone and the Village is a good idea? So those were my ideas as well.
Oh, right. Well, obviously I'm not going to disagree with you. I do think the Cube last year felt like LIFF had a home.
Well, that's it. You need a home didn't for
it?
A festival.
It had its home, and then it gives everyone the chance to build that home bigger and better every year, isn't it? But yeah, that the Pink Cube was brilliant. It looked amazing as well.
Because that was me and Martin had a meeting at the Tetley, and we went and looked at the lawn, and I remember you.
Yeah,
on the phone. Yeah, on the phone, that measuring the space. Like, can we put a stage on that?
It'll fit.
I mean, it did fit, and yeah, the Discovery Zone came about maybe 2 years ago. I was like, let's do something where it's all free activities, and it's kind of trying to get a different audience, and they're different events, but it's kind of like people learn something.
And the footfall and Brigitte as well. Boom.
Yeah, so
you're right.
Like, let's learn stuff, and you know, people can interact with
the city, that would work, wouldn't it?
And Leeds United in the Premier League
and
trams. That's
I know.
This podcast.
How times have changed, Simon. Normally, it'd be in the pub, staying out all night, getting drunk. Now it's like we're talking about trams and...
But the thing is, the trams is a big issue. And
massive.
One of the events we have announced is obviously Living in a Future City with George Clark, who obviously is going to talk about like the social housing crisis, which obviously...
Aren't we the only major European city without trams?
Exactly, and that is a vital part of the city, is connectivity.
Yeah.
As a city, when the Ring Road was built, we were described as a motorway city, which is ridiculous. Like, who agreed to just putting loads of motorways in?
Yeah.
And obviously, we've got a contentious issue with Leeds. Like, there's
parking, it's gridlocked, isn't it?
Parking, one small bump can cause 4 hours of traffic chaos, which it does quite regularly.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to that event because obviously, George Clark's close. To my heart, because he does a lot of the cladding scandal, and I actually lived in a build. I live in a flat that has
cladding, that illegal cladding.
Yeah, that you know from Grenfell and stuff. Yeah. So it was like a, you know, to get him was kind of like a personal thing for me. But that event I'm really looking forward to. And obviously the climate emergency which we're going through in climate.
Which everyone has to do.
Everyone has to do better.
Well, I get the bus every day into town. I've not brought my car. Now and again, if I have to, I will if I'm going somewhere else, but most of the time I get on the bus into town.
I mean, I live walking distance. I walk pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
But
I think if
everyone does one or two things,
it'll make a massive difference.
And it's that simple. And we're going to try and through the festival and through our Generation Future theme, we're going to try and educate and not dictate, because that's not what people need.
No, they don't want to be shouted at and told. No. But I think if you do it in a really clever, grown-up way. You can get your message through rather than...
Because Leeds is like leading on a lot of sustainable stuff. And I don't think people realise a lot of that. We've got the Climate Jury, which is a group of people from all walks of life got together and said what's most important to the city for a climate emergency. Yeah. And that has been led as a project. And it's normal people, not dictated at a high level. No other city has that stuff.
I don't think they've got the message out properly, because I stand at the bus stop most mornings, I'll stand at the bus stop and I will see car after car after car driving past with one person in it.
Yeah. Why? I mean.
And I don't think that's acceptable.
I think Leeds trialled the 2+ lane nationally, and it's obviously been rolled out. But those are in, like, I think the Armley, the Pudsey Inner Ring Road has it, and I think like where the incinerator is, East Leeds, that has it. You know, Leeds trialled bus lane, those middle lanes, remember?
Yeah. Yeah, they've got one up Scott Hall Road.
And there's one going Killingbeck Way.
Yeah. But we should be on trams, shouldn't we? We should be on trams that are obviously electric, but the electric's got to come from somewhere a bit more,
Yeah, I think, well, as a festival, I think we're going to look into that stuff.
Yeah, I think that's
great.
That's great.
Yeah, just create a pact that, for the festival, is like, this is what we're doing. please get involved and stuff like
that. What I find from people is they don't know how they can help. Like, yeah, we know about recycling, we're getting better at that a little bit. We know about cars, what we can do. You know, I think people need to be directed more.
I think that's what we're going to try and do next year. Through the Generation Future theme, it's not dictate stuff, but just let people know.
Because people know it's bad, don't they? They know the climate is hotting up. We know about the ice shelf and the poles are melting quicker than we thought. We know all this. We know about the bushfires in LA and Australia. But it's now we need to tell people, right, what you can do.
We have a generation to cool the earth, which is enough the title of one of the other events.
Yeah.
And that's, obviously we can't say too much about who else is going, but we obviously know, but you know, there's some really interesting speakers, different viewpoints of it, because there is contentious issues. There's a lot of stuff going on in the news. Extinction Rebellion obviously get all the headlines and stuff like that, and it's kind of like
it's kind of a good thing, but then it could be a bad thing, because if they channeled it in the right way, instead of stopping traffic and taking police resources from somewhere when there's accidents or terrorist things going on in the capital, you know you have to do things responsibly, and if you're asking people to be responsible about the way climate is and changing their actions, then I think we can get that out in a good way with good messages like we're doing at LIF, you know, and telling them how people need to be told now. You know, for me, there should be a lot more council navigation in terms of what people can do. You know, leaflets through the door. Like, did you know if you did this with your water, if you didn't do this, or you didn't flush your toilet, you could save water in this way. How can we save water? How can we save energy? How can we recycle better?
Is it then,
you know,
the punishment way is that, this is one of the arguments, I'm not saying it's my view, but you carry a bag, 5p charge, that changed people's viewpoint instantly, because they're like, 5p?
Yeah.
And it's kind of, you know, there was talk of the coffee, the latte levy, which was like, you know, if you don't bring your reusable cup, it's 25p extra, and that money goes back into you know, helping to recycle coffee cups better and stuff like that. So it's kind of, maybe is it the punishment thing where, you know, you're wasting water? Like, if someone has 2 baths a day,
it's ridiculous.
You know, like stuff like that. So it's more, I think educational. I think, you know, from recycling, Leeds and Bradford City Council, I think in the last few weeks have been able to, you can recycle Tetra packs and stuff like that, which, you know, I don't know how many people know that, but before you couldn't put that stuff in recycling. So there's all these new things that, you know, we're trying to get out there, which is quite interesting.
Which is great, because as Leeds International Festival are at the forefront of all these debates on how we can help, how we can change, what you can do, and you know, because I've got two boys at uni, and my elder lad lives in Mirabel, so he's out in the, you know, with nature and all that up in the mountains, so he's ultra keen on recycling, and they're getting it, the young generation. But I also like to think that it's not the older generation's fault, you know, because this is where I think there's a big problem. The research now, we didn't have that research 30 years ago, did we? You know, so you can't blame us, or we can't blame our parents. We've all got to pull together and do it now.
And everyone has to pull together.
Yeah, 100%. So. Thanks for listening to episode 3 of the podcast. So you can follow us on hashtag LeedsIntFest. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Google and others. Thank you.